Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another Hard Truth with myself, David Vance, and Alana Mercer. Hi, Alana.
Hi, David. Lovely to see you.
Once again, here we are, Alana, with the podcast video with the best musical introduction of any of them on the planet.
Yeah, it's hard to beat that. It's beautiful. Yeah.
It always sets.
By the way, have we got credit, Sean Mercer?
Sean Mercer, we always credit Sean Mercer, the illustrious musician, very talented guy all round, who composed that brilliant piece that we always open and end with. So, so Alana, we have a lot of cover. We've got a lot to cover. I think we should give a shout out to all our followers and viewers, especially over at Rumble, because they've been very good, haven't they?
Yes, and I'm so happy, as you are, to see Rumble sort of taking its place in our lives, at least, because it's practically impossible to say anything on Taliban Tube without being removed and censored and feeling so shamed, you know? I mean, in the Anglosphere, we are shamed for speaking our minds. Isn't that amazing? And then, David, what do you think about all these NBA stars, idiots, low IQ idiots who get up and there's a gentleman, I don't know if you heard of him, his name is Enes, or Enes should be, Kanter, who a Turkish gentleman brought here for the NBA, which is the most progressive sports establishment, taking to YouTube or whatever it was to complain about the Chinese when there are restrictions being rolled out against the unvaccinated in the country to which he has been brought. So this is how we in the Anglosphere acculturate our newcomers, you know. We declare ourselves a democracy, therefore we can do no wrong, and any wrongs occurring under this so-called tyranny by majority rule is right. You know, might makes right. So we have these idiots getting up and speaking about violations of rights in China, Tibet, the Uyghurs. But meanwhile, the unvaccinated are being increasingly victimized. What do you say in England as well?
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's across the Anglosphere. I mean, this is a topic we tackled actually last time around here on Hard Truth, Alana, when we talked about the seeming failure of the Anglosphere to be able to stand up in all kinds of ways for itself. But most definitely. In fact, actually, Alana, that's a lovely little intro you've given me there, because let's explore some of these instances of where in our countries, and not least the US, we see rights being just stripped away from people in the name of COVID, the great God COVID. And we've got a couple of things. I just want to, we'll start off the show with just, if we can just bring up, let's talk about New York City. New York, no, you're New York, so good they named it twice. I'm not sure it's that good anymore. So, Alana, I was reading that in New York, the police union are now suing the city itself over the COVID vaccine mandate, because Uncle Joe has brought in as much as he can through federal government vaccine mandates, and yet New York's biggest police union have asked a judge to temporarily at least halt the implementation of vaccination mandates. Well, I'm sure the Republican Party will be 100% behind that, 100% standing with the police union. What do you think, Alana?
Yes, and the Republican Party is absolutely inept, because the only way that they are their brains or their imagination or their grasp of rights allows them to phrase or frame this violation of rights, a decision, if you own your body, if you have dominion over your body, what goes into it, the only way the Republican Party is prepared to frame the whole issue is, what are the three permissible, you have natural immunity, you should be exempt, if you've had COVID before, And there's another one, a religious exemption. Otherwise, and those are all extensions of what we call in libertarian theory, positive rights. you know, state-minted rights. They are not the language of natural rights. So the Republicans, I'm sure, will be fine. Postpone it rather than nullify this mandate. Postpone it. I'm sure they will say not much more than that. And that's the way we lose liberty, because we choose, we don't understand the language of individual rights, and our representatives certainly don't understand them.
They're absolutely pathetic. And we'll circle back, as Jen Psaki would might put it. We're going to, I know, the ginger-haired demon in the White House. But it's not just New York, because Austria, a country with a strange history, has also, I think we've got a little thing we can bring up here, because the Austrian Parliament have been, if we can just see it, the Austrian Parliament, Alana, have decided that they might need to be bringing in a lockdown for the unvaccinated. We're going to have to lock down the unclean, potentially, says the German Chancellor, Alexander von Schasselberg, whatever he's called himself. So, yeah, and a German Chancellor wanting to lock down particular small groups. Now, there's a novelty, Alana. We've never seen that in history, have we?
Yeah. You know, and I don't like to bring it up. I don't like to bring up the past, but I think it's absolutely apropos that the past be that their nose be rubbed in it.
I completely agree. Yeah,
absolutely.
And you can see there, actually, we just scroll back up again. Actually, to be fair to the Austrian, some of the Austrian people, here they were demonstrating outside, basically saying shame on the politicians inside, who were debating potentially taking away these people's liberty in the autumn. But it doesn't stop there, Alana, because I've got a little video clip I wanted to share with yourself and all our viewers. What we're going to play in a second. This happens inside the Austrian Parliament. And here we have a 28-year-old Alana, so we're very young.
I think she's advocating illiberal policies, right? And look,
naturally. Naturally.
Let's have a look at what happens.
Let's look to see what happens if we can cue the video up. So here we have inside the Austrian Parliament.
Kommt eigentlich jede Investition im Bildungsbereich den Kindern und Jugendlichen selbst zugute. Jedes Kind ist...
Well, that's an act of God. That's an act of God.
Do you know what, Alana? Every time I see that, it gets better. No, she was fine, by the way. She was fine. But
that's a shame.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah. However, she had been boasting on her Instagram page that just very, very recently, in the last number of days or whatever, about how she'd taken her, she got her double jab. She was super duper fine. And then there she was, along with the others, pontificating about taking away the liberties of the unvaccinated. And as you say, God.
Jehovah.
Yeah, exactly. So wasn't that an interesting clip from Austria? But again, the tyranny isn't there, because if we then travel down under to New Zealand, which is, I know we've touched on this one before, Alana, but it doesn't get better. So here we have the...
David, you have to please mention that this young lady and her fellow politicians were advising that there's going to be a house arrest for unvaccinated in Austria.
Yeah.
A house arrest, yeah.
Yeah. Liberty doesn't even matter anymore. It's just gone. And this is particularly tragic. And we have touched on it here in Hard Truth. And again, New Zealand, a country which in many regards has its the core of its values taken from, I guess, Britain, you would say. And look at this. The New Zealand Prime Minister, the horse-like. I mean, the last time I seen something like Jacinda Ardern, it had a saddle on it, right? But Jacinda Ardern, it has to be said, happily admits she created two classes of people, the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. She openly admitted it, Alana. Apartheid, medical apartheid, rights for thee, but rights for me, but not for thee, in New Zealand. It's tyranny, no other word for it. And she was proud about it. You know, she giggled.
Well, and the reporter just timidly, very timidly said, so you're basically saying that there are two classes of people. I know you were allowing and making allowances for and saying, I understand that you wouldn't see it this way, the vaccinated and the unvaccinated, and both, and each have different rights. And she says, oh, yeah, of course, with a smug smile. And the reporter apparently retreats.
Yes,
having been given the marching orders, press retreats.
Yeah, that's why, I mean, there's a massive problem with the press, which you and I both know about and have talked about, I think, for a long time, that the so-called fourth estate is nothing more now than a propagandist vehicle for those in these authoritarian governments. The reporter, I think actually what happened, which amused me, Alana, I think he kind of asked this casual question, and she kind of replied, and I think there was almost an internal gasp from him, and he was trying to invite her to roll back, but she didn't roll back. She's just, yeah, medical apartheid, what's the problem? You got a problem with that?
But that sort of the good old reporters, even the liberal reporters that the Conservatives habitually cronkite, or all those oldies, would have immediately Socratically jumped in there and said, are you saying that we don't have X, Y, and Z liberties to be free of searches in our homes, to have bodily autonomy? Does the Bill of Rights not matter? I can just see one of those old liberal, not old, classically liberal,
reporters,
not progressive degenerates, picking up on that and Socratically inviting more answers from this Jacinda Ardern with apologies to horses, my friend, because horses are lovely.
Lovely creatures. No, they're spectacular creatures, which I can't say. But the thing is, Jacinda Ardern, interestingly enough, she got her political tutelage working for a certain Mr. Tony Blair in the UK. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, one of the authors of the invasion of Iraq.
A war criminal. War criminal.
Strong neoconservative. His wife is Sherry. Is also no Sherry.
She's not awful.
Woman.
No, try not to think about Sherry Blair. I've kind of mind bleach then is applied. But yeah, so here we have, from the States through Austria to New Zealand, Australia. We could have thrown Australia in. Alana, we see all these countries and basically the right, the sort of people's personal rights are just being stripped away. And then to go back to the States, because I want to talk about the States. You see, I've got issues as well in the States with the level of, countering this. It's so meek and mild. It's pathetic, as you said.
Do you think it's meeker than the rest of than Europe and England?
I think, yeah, I do. Yes.
I think you'd be right to say so.
Let's take one instance in the States that everyone says, "Oh, this is wonderful." Florida. Let's talk about DeSantis in Florida. And, mm-hmm. and yes, I know he has done some things. I get that. And he has said things about vaccine mandates. Well, they are not lawful or whatever. And if people get the vaccine and they suffer adverse reactions, there could be legal consequences. You know, he said all those things. But by the same token, I was looking at some medical statistics for Florida, Alana. And as Florida has started to, I mean, they've amped up the rate of vaccination in Florida. Mustn't forget this. And when you then look at the medical stats, what becomes really apparent is the number one in the over 65 age group in Florida, deaths have not gone down. They've stayed about the same.
Interesting.
But it worryingly, in the under 65 age group, they've trebled, if not quadrupled.
Yes, and there's a phenomenon of increased heart disease.
Yeah.
And what worries me, David, is all these things you've been tracking closely with your videos, your very many videos on COVID. Next time we have to touch on some of those. But the fact is that there's absolutely the extent of the medical malpractice extends into chronic incuriosity. There's absolutely no tracking of these trends and the consequences of, I don't know if it's vaccination. It has to be examined. And many very smart people are out there floating these questions, as you know, Socratically, as I said, you know, you have to ask these questions and examine them and start tracking these very large vaccinated cohorts. And this is not being done. And this is why even people who can't articulate the unease with the vaccination, they sense it. They sense it. They sense that if they go to hospital, to an ER with symptoms post-vaccination, they will be told or referred to a psychiatrist. They sense that they will not get treatment if they do have reactions. They sense that there's no science tracking reactions or vaccine injuries. And this is also a serious component of this rollout.
But, you know, Alana, that's a great point you made, because we've touched on the fact that of a staggering journalistic lack of curiosity. But there is indeed the same medical staggering lack of curiosity. So you would have thought, when you see some of these sort of obvious numbers and deaths occurring and stuff, mm-hmm. unlike you, I don't know. I'm not saying that it's the vaccine that's causing them, because I don't know. But I would be very curious if I were a medical person to try and understand, and I'd want to understand it. And it makes me wonder, why doesn't Dr. Anthony Fauci, my old friend, Dr. Anthony Fauci, why is the CDC seemingly not particularly bothered about, for example, the various reactions, which, like, from a European point of view, a UK point of view, horrifying when I see stuff being recorded and that, and yet, nobody's bothered.
Yeah, and the VAERS is inaccurate. They say that it's about 1% of all possible cases.
Yeah,
and so but that's not being tracked. And it's in the reporting as well. I think this whole illiberal, what we're seeing is the end result of I documented absolute, void that is our education system. You know, our kids are taught by the stupidest cohort in society, low IQ people, education, people who they're not being taught about American freedoms, American liberties, founding documents. They're not being taught to think analytically. They are being propagandized and taught dogma. So they're very good at critical race theory, but they're not, and they think they're good at math, but they come last in the developed world. At least the American students come last in the developed world in reading, writing, and math. And all these things mediate thinking. You know, if you have a profoundly ignorant population, it will mediate your grasp of liberty. And we're seeing this in doctors as well. We're seeing, because what you see on television is not the most intelligent segment of the profession. It's the most status and power hungry, perhaps, but certainly not. But there are thousands of brilliant people. Peter McCullough.
Peter McCullough.
The gentleman who was party to inventing the mRNA platform.
Yes, I know the guy you're talking
Robert Malone.
Robert Malone.
Thousands of really bright people writing brilliantly, putting out stuff, being banned,
You're right, Alana. And actually, you know, again, just before we've started to record this, I was looking at the situation in Ireland. Now, Ireland is the most heavily vaccinated population cohort in the whole of Europe. 91% of Irish people over the age 12, so that's pretty, you know, 12 upwards, 91% of them have been double vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And Ireland is now recording the highest levels of COVID-19 hospitalizations since March of earlier this year. And of that, there's a substantial number of those in ICU, in intensive care units, who have been double jabbed. And you know what the response of the main person, the sort of the Dr. Fauci of Ireland, his response was, well, yeah, this is a problem. We probably need to vaccinate people some more.
Now there's booster number 4, booster number 5, and one, you know, the stupid bimbos on CNN and I had a quite amusing, I tweeted out that there's sort of a vax chic, you know, a lady called Alicia Menendez on MSNBC was her counterpart in CNN is a sort of a big babyish girl, Pamela Brown. You know, they speak like babies and they want to force you to do things and they can't say they ing's. I'm loving this vaccine. You know, the big daddy Uncle Sam to get in there and penalize the vaccinate, the unvaccinated, not them. And they asked these leading questions. Wouldn't you suggest we should not provide for ICU beds for the unvaccinated? They say with their gleeful lollipop in hand, you know. But they were actually these young women who already look old and ugly because just like that beautiful girl being struck by the Lord, that they are in ruins from inside, you know, being eaten. But she was going on about the joy of mixing and maxing and matching boosters. She can have a Moderna one day and she can mix it with a Pfizer. And there's a vaccine chic.
I wonder what the science is that says how can you mix and match these mRNA treatments, because we don't know. The truth is nobody knows the consequences of that, but it seems to be fashionable to, well, you know, I'd like, it's like going into the bar, isn't it? Can I have a Moderna with just a dash of J&J? Can I have that with ice? And again, no empirical evidence to support that this is safe, beyond the fact the CDC says it, but then they don't seem to be interested in investigating.
And they're not providing any data. No. They're not providing. And in fact, if you read the journalism, they will always go to, it's always straw arguments. They'll go to the, people have good instincts, but they'll go to the least articulate people, the people who are resisting vaccines. Mm-hmm. They sense that something's wrong, but they can't express it like you do or I might. And they make fun of them. And then they don't say, someone from Johns Hopkins disputes this anti-vaxxers perspective. They don't say someone from the CDC provided us with, this is what journalism used to do. You get three, four sources. Top sources saying, I understand that concern, but here is the refutation. There's a double-blind study or a longitudinal study over 2 years. There's no 2 years behind the vaccination. That's the joke. There's nothing of that. All the reporter will say, and all of them say the same, experts say otherwise. But that is the extent of the journalistic and media refutation. So, no, it's an absolute joke. And I've said on our hard talk, hard truth. Sorry, I shouldn't promote BBC's hard. That I've had the shingles, two of them. I looked at the data. Was the adjuvants were very very benign. It had 10, 15 years of data behind it. You know, we're not anti-vaxxers.
No.
We're rational, highly intelligent people. So I got my I don't want to have shingles. It's awful at our age, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
But the stuff and the boosters and the lack of data to don't come out and say yay or nay, but certainly I think a rational person would not offer up their arm. Then you find out increasingly, and my husband keeps me up to date about that, there's, because of institutional rot, you're giving vaccinations in fields, in parking lots. Yes. Social workers are jabbing you. There is simple technique of aspirating a needle, you know, to make sure that you're not hitting a vein.
Yep, that's right.
CDC forbids it because CDC wants, allegedly, people to die. But Pfizer and Moderna say you have to aspirate. Make sure this, you're not sticking the person in the blood vessel, because if research was being done, we might find out if these that actually injecting into the bloodstream might be associated with some of these these side effects that are not being reported, right? So there's all kinds of things that are not being followed, and simple procedure safety that could be followed, such as injection technique.
I've seen video footage after video footage of people being given their treatments, which we can loosely call vaccines, but they're not, as I would understand them, vaccines, and loads of people fainting. And I wonder, is the reason why some of the people faint the reason you've just said? That could it be that the actual application, you know, the actual sort of the injecting process, because this is being done on an industrial scale. Maybe that's the problem. And can I also say that, just because you mentioned this, the whole anti-vax thing, you and I are people, we care passionately about words, about language, because it's important. And these phrases like anti-vax have been crafted, haven't they, to marginalize, to demonize, to humiliate people who, I call them critical thinkers, who have determined at this point they don't wish to partake of the treatments. But they can just dismiss us by saying, you're anti-vaxxers. I've had every vaccine that, you know, throughout my life, and my kids have had vaccines, and I'm not anti-vaccine at all. But it's weaponizing language, isn't it, to demonize?
Absolutely, and it's an absolute straw argument, isn't it? Because
yeah.
This is not the case. Yeah, there are people, the minorities anti-vax, but I think we've mentioned these studies before that they have found that highly intelligent people are still the holdouts. You know, the holdouts are among people who are highly educated.
Well, talking of highly educated people, I wanted to bring up this one, which
don't forget Chomsky. Don't forget Chomsky, please.
Lana, you beat me to it.
I read your mind.
Mr. As ever, we're aligned. Mr. Chomsky, Noam Chomsky, and in a very humanitarian phrase, he thinks the unvaccinated should remove themselves from the community, and access to food is, their problem. Let them starve. What's your thoughts on this? Charming.
Speechless. A progressive who should be using his voice to speak about Julian Assange's extradition to the United States, the number one libertarian in the world, Julian Assange, whom we on this program advocate for. Yes. Chomsky, this degenerate fool, who I once quite admired, even though he's a progressive, is using his voice to advocate what I called Wacoing the unvaccinated. In April, I wrote a column, "Will the unvaccinated be Wacoed?" And I thought, well, that was a little bit of hyperbole. Hyperbole. Don't you think the Austrians might first house arrest you and then come and drag you from your home and plunge syringes into your arms?
In fact, actually, can we bring up, because Alana's just mentioned it, can we bring up, as you say, Alana, back in April, good 6 months ago, could vaccine resistors be wackoed?
And Waco.
Yeah, you said Waco, I say tomato.
Waco is a place. Do you remember Waco?
I know where it is. Yeah, I remember it. So actually, you know, that I don't think that was necessarily the hyperbole, because if you look at what Chomsky's saying, he's basically saying starve them to death. Not our problem.
Yes, but, and I think Waco is probably a little bit more merciful than I don't know. They said Janet Reno set fire to the compound, David Koresh's compound. So, but starving us to death.
It's
of a piece of that mindset, isn't it? And Chomsky is giving. He's expressing these thoughts. It's just horrific. Is he afraid for himself? Is he afraid of us? What is it?
I mean, at 92 years old, I'm not even sure why he's weighing in and why he has such a hatred of so many millions of Americans. Because, I mean, the issue in all of this is, Alana, I suppose if we cut to the chase, and this is more so in the States than here in the UK, there's a significant percentage of the population who have determined at this point they don't want to have the gene treatments, and that's their decision. But that makes the administration, the Biden administration, very unhappy, and they're using everything, I think, including potentially people like Chomsky, ironically, to push their message, you know, get the jab, don't think about it, just do it. And that is the road to hell, Shirley, and back.
Yet these people stay in power. I mean, Seattle is laying off its cops. The same thing's going to happen in New York, and I don't see that people are voting any differently. I just don't see it. It's inexplicable. We've reached a tipping point in this democracy where liberty is just a minority opinion.
And that's I'm not sure that's an enduring position, because if we are just a minority position, then does tyranny become the majority position? And if it does, what does that mean in the medium to long term for those of us who find ourselves in the position of wanting to assert our individual right or bodily autonomy, Alana? Because ultimately, that's what's at stake. And yet, there is an incredible hypocrisy. I mean, Biden in particular has been pushing this and pushing this in his rare moments of lucidity. And yet, keep seeing him appearing, like I saw a clip of him today, out without a mask, having told everyone, you got to wear a mask. You know, is it just stupidity? Is it malignancy? Is it evil? Is it all of those?
Well, it's us versus them. We are the anointed. We are not the anointed. You are the hoi polloi. Even if we do take a jet rather than economizing because of global warming, or even if we don't recycle, even if we are promiscuously filthy in our daily habits, we are the anointed. We bring truth. So there's a balance here. This is their perspective. They do believe that they are endowed with certain liberties we don't have because they are the anointed ones. Yeah. And I did want to just mention Ludwig von Mises, the great classical liberal economist, always said that some state intervention eventually results in complete tyranny. And we're seeing this. You mentioned at the beginning, we spoke about the Austrian parliament, and they are basing the obliteration of rights on a utilitarian argument, of course, saying that once the ICU capacity reaches 500 beds occupied, then they will clamp down on the unvaccinated. But you see, Mises was a utilitarian too, but he might have pointed out, or at least I won't speak for him, but I think he would approve me pointing out that 500 is state capacity. And I know that they have a nationalized healthcare because they are stating a state capacity. If we had a free market medical system, we would have unlimited ICU capacity and we wouldn't be looking at this, right? So incrementally, intervention into the economy, usurpation of healthcare, national—you know more than anyone about nationalized healthcare—leads leads to this tyranny. Because in the name of 500 beds is nothing. I don't know how many Austrians there are, 60 million. I'm not sure how many people there are in Austria. 500 ICU beds is nothing. It speaks to state capacity. The Austrians are smart enough and innovative enough to come up with thousands upon thousands of ICU beds. Yeah, so this is tyranny based on state capacity.
And control
of the means of producing healthcare.
Well, would you see, Alana, I mean, we need to wrap up very shortly, but just because you brought it up, socialized healthcare to me is one of the biggest evils of all. So in the UK, we have the National Health Service, the NHS. It's become a political totem. It's we all must worship at the feet of the NHS. It's appalling. It should be broken up. It's a neo-Stalinist monstrosity. I've been saying this for a long time. But the thing is, just as you've mentioned with Austria, the British government used that And they're basically saying, ah, well, your freedom to basically live your life is dependent on how effective the NHS is.
Exactly.
And just like with von Mises, that argument, it's such a malignant argument, that it's so bad. Exactly. And yet they use it. And most people, worryingly, most people go with it, Alana. And so if you're like me and you, I'm certainly a voice in the wilderness, because I decry the essence of socialized healthcare. It's always wrong.
Yeah, no, you're a voice in the wilderness in Ireland. So
I'm the Jeremiah. I am the Jeremiah of Ireland. In fact, I think I referenced myself that in the book. Jeremiah was a great
hero. He had to sleep in the fields because the people always wanted to kill him, because he told them to get out of God's temple, because you're sullying the temple with your greed. He wasn't popular with the people.
I always felt a great affinity with Jeremiah.
The prophets are the best. The prophets.
But absolutely, yeah. So I think on that note, then, what we'll do is, I think we'll bring this hard truth.
And Jeremiah would have approved striking down that woman for her illiberal, that Austrian lady, the young lady,
for
her illiberal intentions against the Austrian unvaccinated.
I know. Yeah. Well, I think, as I say, this whole issue of the sort of the erasure of our private or personal rights or private rights or bodily autonomy is being removed, and this won't end well. So if for no other reason, from a historical point of view, Alana, I think that's why this is important. We're putting down your marker and my marker. We're really clear. We're rational arguments, not just necessarily appeals to emotion.
Rights-based arguments, not outcome-based arguments. For example, this awful woman, Lena Wen, who's become the face of the doctors on television, says, oh, she approves of workplace mandates because the utilitarian arguments, not because they are right or wrong, because they work. In other words, if you violate rights, it works.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. That is the argument from the state.
Yes, and that's the argument that we're here to counter and put an alternative
in a small way, hopefully growing thanks to our viewers and listeners.
Absolutely, hopefully so. Well, Alana, thank you very much for being
here with me
tonight. Always a pleasure. Can I thank everyone who's listening or watching this? Please make sure you are subscribed to the channel, to the platform, be it on audio, be it on video. If you enjoy the content, share it. If you can, on whichever platforms you're operating on as well, and get these hard truths out there. So that's it from Alana and myself for tonight.
Bye, guys.
We'll catch up with you soon. Bye, everybody.
Till next week.